You are listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Brain. Hey, welcome back, entrepreneur, to another juicy episode on Make Your Break, where we're talking about some life lessons that I've gone through to scale my first $100,000 year. Now, to you, maybe you're already making $100,000 in your business. That's okay, because I think you're going to learn a lot from today regardless. Or maybe you haven't hit 100K in your business yet and you're well on your way. You just need a few more lessons to get you there and to really pick up some momentum. You're in for a treat. You know, when I first started as an entrepreneur, 17 years ago, started my first business, I always thought that to earn big numbers like six figures, you know, I'm talking $100,000 plus in your business, always thought that it had to be like privilege or your education or some sort of luck or some sort of hope or whatever it was, like the stars had to align for it to happen. And like people had a lucky break. But since then, I've just, you know, I've realized for myself anyway, that that just simply isn't true. For me, I've been able to build multiple six-figure businesses and I've been able to do it faster and faster and faster. And I've realized that it's just the same as a recipe. Like imagine if your auntie created an amazing cake, for instance, and you want to replicate that cake. Well, then you'll just get the recipe from her. In fact, you could probably watch her make it and then get a recipe from her and then you could do the exact same cake. So with business, it's just the same as following a recipe. Like there's a proven path to success and it's repeatable, which is really cool. So my first business, just to qualify myself, 17 years ago, I didn't hit six figures. I didn't even think it was possible. We went bankrupt after 12 months. And so that was in the negative. The next business, I was an electrician. It took me 24 months to hit six figures as that business. It was called Energy Electrical. My third business was, I was a wedding photographer. So this was back in 2013. It took under 12 months. My next business was my workshop business, which is, you know, basically what this podcast is under now. That took well under 12 months to make six figures. My next business was a photo booth DJ business, and that took roughly around 6 months. The next one took about 6 weeks, and then the last one took about a week from launch to six figures. So what's really interesting is like now that I've got it dialed in, I can rinse and repeat over and over and over, and it gets easier and easier. And in fact, since then I've had seven-figure businesses as well, which is really cool. And I've also helped thousands of photographers, videographers, entrepreneurs like get into the six-figure club, which has been amazing seeing them repeat the same process and the same success that I got all those years ago. So today, I do want to dive into the 10 life lessons, and I've got a couple of big secrets that you never will hear anywhere else, even on business podcasts, because I just feel like there's a lot of stuff that never gets talked about. Like a lot of podcasts are very surface level, and it's also from people that are just starting out or they don't really know business themselves. So this comes from 17 years of learning a lot of stuff, and I really do want to dive into some things that I feel like are big secrets that could give you a whole new perspective on your own business and what it is that you're doing. So just to finish up, we also have a workbook for this. You can head down in the show notes and you're going to see a link right there for the workbook for this episode. It's on the blog post, and I am giving away one free mentoring session per month to one lucky winner that leaves me a review on the Apple Podcast app for this podcast, which is the only way that we can actually build this channel. So if you want us to hit our unrealistic goals and grow this podcast to be one of the biggest in the industry, then I would love for you to go and leave a review, send us screenshot to me on Instagram at jailong.co just to prove it. And you're in the draw to win a 45-minute one-on-one session with me where I can dive into your hopes and dreams and your strategies and everything to do with your business so I can help you take it to a whole nother level. So let's get into today's episode. Lesson one. Okay, lesson one is actually a big secret. I think it's a big secret, and I love, like, maybe it's not a secret to you, I don't know, but I love saying it's a big secret because honestly, it was my big secret that got me to my success as fast as it did. Number one was working for free. Now, I wanted to start all this off with talking about working for free because I wanted to sort of bring you in on a concept, but also what really works for me. So this might work for you and it may not, like, I don't know, but I want you to hear me out before you shut me down and say, working for free, I can't believe Jai's teaching this and he shouldn't be talking about this and he's undervaluing us and everything else. It's not what I'm trying to do here. I want to give you a whole new concept. When I first started, I'm going to talk about through these, all my different businesses, I'm going to talk about my wedding photography business, just so you know as well. So I'm not talking about my cafe or my no skin clothing brand or any of those things. You know, I'm talking about becoming a wedding photographer. Now, when I first started, I knew, becoming a wedding photographer, so I was a creative, I knew that I wasn't worth anything because nobody could see what I've done before. And so that's a big dilemma. A lot of us, we go out into the world and we go like, oh, you know, I want to charge what I'm worth and I'm worth this much. And we don't let the market determine what we're worth. We determine what we're worth. And a lot of times that we don't get it right. Especially if you don't have the big achievements and you don't have the big portfolio and everything else. Like, how do you know what you're actually worth? So for me, I wanted to grow my worth exponentially. And the way to do that is I needed to work for free. The reason being is because we go through different cycles in business. And this is the secret. You got to go through a cycle where it's creation cycle. Then you go through a cycle and it's monetization cycle. And then the next cycle is the rest cycle. Okay. So you have three cycles in entrepreneurship. Now, what most people do is they go straight to monetization cycle and they never go to the creation cycle and they think they need to be paid for everything. Think about this. Imagine if your favorite YouTubers just went on and they demanded to get sponsorships or be paid in some way on their first video. Like, it would never happen. The big players that we see right now, like Mr. Beast and everybody else, they didn't start off by getting paid for doing it. They were in the creation phase. And the longer that they created without asking for a dollar, the more successful that they got. Today, Mr. Beast is actually worth over $1 billion just from doing that. Like, can you believe that? So he took longer to ask for a dollar than a lot of people. And when you ask for a dollar quicker, then you're always going to be worth less because then things change. You're no longer in the creation zone. You're in the monetization zone. And when you're in that zone, usually you're working for someone and you've got clients and the client brief and there's rules and there's terms and conditions and there's expectations and there's everything else on your art. But if you're an artist and you're out there and you're creating for the sake of yourself, then the more that you create, the more worth you have because the bigger portfolio that you have and the more skills that you have, okay? So which means you're going to be worth more. So for my first 12 months when I became a wedding photographer, I was like, well, I know I'm not worth anything because I literally don't even have a portfolio. And the first thing that I created was a price guide and I shot some photos of some flowers and some other random things. And I remember I just went to, I put it out into the universe that I wanted to shoot weddings and someone got in touch and they said, yeah, we'd love to have a meeting with you. And I showed them my price guide and I told them all about it. And they said, yeah, sure, like, let's do it. I shot that one, I think for a couple hundred dollars. I loved it so much. And then after that one, I was like, you know what? I haven't really got much experience. I'm just going to shoot for free for as long as it takes. And I actually went to the US and I shot 10 weddings for free to start off with. And I put it out to everyone everywhere. Like I put it, you know, social media, contacted all the magazines, like contacted wedding venues, vendors, wedding photographers in those areas. And, until I got roughly, I think around about like 8 referrals. And so I was on my way. I had no credit cards. I had no line of credit. You know, we didn't come from money or anything. So I sold my car for 20 grand and that kept us going for 2 months, me and my wife cruising around, shooting weddings all over the US for free. And it was a really good time, but it allowed me to build my portfolio, it allowed me to make so many connections, expand my network, get featured all over the place, and it increased my worth. So now there was demand for what I was doing. The interesting thing was when I came back to Australia, after I shot those 8 weddings for free, there were so many people that were lined up that wanted to book me because all of a sudden I was an international wedding photographer and I had sponsors and I was featured all over the place and the demand absolutely skyrocketed. So what I did was I created demand around my work before I started monetizing. And even when I come back to Australia, I started shooting more weddings for free. And what was interesting was I knew that I wanted a 6-figure business. I just didn't care that I had to work for free to get myself there because I was building something bigger. Now, I want to let you in on a few more secrets. I wanted to charge $5,000 per wedding when I first started out, and that was my benchmark. I don't know why, but I was like, if I could charge $5,000 per wedding, then I felt like I'd be successful. So what I did was I was shooting weddings for free, but I acted like they paid me $5,000, and I would show up like they paid me $5,000, and I would deliver like they paid me $5,000, and I wouldn't let anybody tell me otherwise. And me showing up like this means I created an amazing experience and people were mind blown by it. They couldn't even believe that they didn't pay me money and just how good the service was and how good the images were and everything else. So from there, they started recommending me to other people and I just kept showing up like that. Even when I started putting my prices up and I started charging, like people would ask for discounts, I would do everything. Like I no longer, at that stage, I did not care about the dollar. All I cared was I want to create. So I created a body of work that people actually loved. And for me, the more that I didn't ask for it, the more my rates went up quickly. And the more that I actually, by the end of the year, we actually hit six figures. And I did that because I literally didn't even realize, but people were paying me $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a wedding because they loved what I was doing and they were part of my story. And I had a portfolio to show that as well, which was mind blowing. So I want to let you know this. If right now you're thinking like that would be too hard for you to do and like how does that all happen, I want you to think about like you need to grow the environment that you want your business to be in to expand the business. So for me, I wanted to be an international wedding photographer. I wanted to charge $5,000 and I wanted to be doing the big things that I did. And to do that, I needed to grow the environment regardless of the money that was coming in. So it's just like a fish. You put a fish in a small fish bowl, it is not going to grow very big. So if you have a bigger fish bowl, a bigger environment, it means the business can grow bigger. Now think about this. If you are creating something so small and it's so caged and it can't breathe, the way that looks practically in your business is like, well, I'm not going to shoot because there's, you know, unless it's full rates and I'm getting paid what I'm worth. Like who even knows what that is? Or if they ask for a discount, then I'm undervalued, you know. Or you're showing up and saying like, I can't afford this and I can't afford a CRM and I can't go there and I can't do this. And, you know, so you start thinking so small, you cage your business in, your business is no longer thriving in an environment. It's stuck in such a small place of no expansion because you're trying to retract. And the reason why you're trying to retract is because someone told you you need to charge what you're worth and you are scared of being undervalued and undercharging and putting yourself into a place like that. So for me, I did the complete opposite. I was like, how can I get into the big ocean, no longer be in the little fishbowl in my, you know, in my lounge room? And how can I expand so far, go to other countries, create stuff that I absolutely love, no expectations, no nothing. I'm shooting for free anyway. And then build stuff that I'm absolutely proud of that I can submit into, you know, to all the feature accounts, to the magazines, to the blogs, to wherever it needs to go for me to get my brand out there. So that's the way that I show up. And I wanted to share that big secret with you because I know a lot of people don't talk like that. A lot of people just, especially business coaches, they get in here and they go like, you must charge what you're worth and you've got to do this and don't undervalue the industry and all this crap that's best serving them and not best serving you. But if you're going out there, you need to best serve yourself. Okay. So number one is you got to be in the creation cycle. Like no one's going to pay you. You're not worth anything until you've created something that people can actually see and they see of value. Then the second stage is you show up and you monetize. So now you monetize the stuff that you've created, which is your portfolio, which is the experience that you've built, which is the business that you've built. And now you can monetize. The longer that you don't ask for any money, the more that you can charge in this phase right now. The reason why Mr. Beast can now, you know, charge $100 million for like an episode for something that he's doing, then it's because he never asked for money, you know, back when he was doing the small episodes. He allowed it to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you can do that, the longer you hold out for, the more success that you can get. And then of course, cycle three is rest. Like you can't keep burning like that. We do need to show up and we need to rest. We got to look after ourselves. We need to make sure that we're honoring all three cycles. Don't just go for monetization. Honestly, and it's just a side note, like I just see so many coaches just always talking about how you just got to monetize everything. Like not everything needs to be monetized. Just because someone hasn't paid you or they ask for a discount or something doesn't mean you're getting undervalued. And it doesn't mean that anyone's, you know, taking the piss or anything like that. Honestly, you're the one that puts value on yourself. So if you are trying to find value from outside influences and what other people think of you, then that's the big problem. It's not the problem that, you know, people are asking you for a discount. It's the fact that you have put your value on that. You got to have value so high that people couldn't even pay you your value. You know, I know for myself, if I shot a wedding for $20,000 today, I'm like, man, I'm worth more. You know I'm worth more than $20,000. Okay. So you need to be so sold on yourself on that. But yeah, just wanted to go lesson one, big secret. For me, it worked. And I've done it ever since. Like, you know, if I've got a clothing label, we're giving away free merch. Like if I'm doing, when I did my workshops, like I would do free one-on-one sessions with my courses, with everything. Right now, like I'm doing like a, you know, once a month giveaway, one-on-one mentoring session with me. I've got to be honest with you. I don't do any one-on-one mentoring sessions for paid money. I only do them for free. I just don't do it because, to be honest, like it's just not worth my time. Like $500 an hour is just not worth my time. And I'm just not making a huge impact to a lot of people. So I'd rather show up and actually help people. And because I do that, it grows my business because it grows my reputation and everything else. And I think spreading kindness and doing things like that, like money doesn't give me my worth or my value. I give myself that worth and that value. Okay, really important. Lesson two, big secret. This one's a huge secret. This one's like how business works. And I know a lot of you guys don't know this. And so this is going to really help you on your journey to success. Business works on averages. Now, despite what you may think that a lot of businesses make a lot of money because they charge more. So for example, if we're talking about wedding photographers, you may think someone that charges $5,000 is going to make more than someone charges $3,000. And on paper, it looks like that. And you think if you want to make more money, you just need to put up your price. Now, that's not actually how business works. Business works on averages. Now, what does that mean? Well, I want you to rewind back to my first year in business when I made six figures. But I told you I shot most of them for free. So how did that work? Well, they weren't for free. The reason being is because some people paid me $5,000, some people paid me $10,000. You know, I think that first year I shot like 60 weddings or something. Now, if I averaged out how much I actually got paid across each wedding that I did, it averaged out to what, maybe $3,000, $4,000 per wedding that I got paid. Because everything works on averages, which means I can show up and shoot for free. Think about this. If you go to McDonald's, do you think they make a lot of money on some small fries? They don't make any money. They make money on small fries and a small Coke and a burger because they average everything together and they make profit of everything, okay? Not just from the one thing. If you go to a supermarket, supermarkets don't make money on many of their products. In fact, some of their products actually lose money on. Case in point for this, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but usually the milk sections at the back of a supermarket, usually things that are really needed, like nappies, for instance, nappies for kids, are at the back of the supermarket, or toilet paper is at the back of the supermarket. And a lot of these items, they make no money on, but they know that if you walk through the supermarket, the chances are you're going to pick up more than one thing. And that's why they put the most important things at the very back where you have to walk all the way through the supermarket. So by the time you come back, you got a basket full of stuff. You probably noticed this happened to you. So what happens is they would have lost money if you just bought a carton of milk, but they actually made money because the average is you're going to walk through and grab a few extra things. And they don't care how much they make per item. They just care of the average that they made when you walked into the supermarket, and they can actually work it out. They know that if one person spends $1 and another family spends $200, they know every single customer that walks through their store is probably spending on average $60. So if they're watching their camera, they know every single person coming in, $60, $60, $60, okay? And then it becomes a really profitable business because all they need to do is more marketing and advertising to get more people to walk through their door. It's not about putting up your prices on certain items. So same goes with wedding photography. If you think you just want to make a lot of money and you just need to put up your prices, well, the chances are you're probably going to book a lot less because a lot less people like, so if you put up your prices, your conversion rate could go down. It could be harder to market towards those people. You might be pushing away more people because they're not in your price range that like you're charging. And you have to do more marketing then. It means you've got to show up and do a lot more marketing. But if you work on averages, it means if, and this is where this comes really important. If you start selling wedding albums, for instance, and let's say you sell them for $2,000 and you profit $1,000 from an album. Okay, so that extra profit, and let's say you charge $5,000 per wedding. Well, now you're making $6,000 per wedding. Let's say you've got a second photographer, you charge them out $800 and you make $200 profit on that. So now you're getting $6,200. Maybe they do a $1,000 print order. So now for shooting that wedding, you're getting $7,200. So what you've done is the average is going all the way across. It means that you could shoot something for cheaper if you wanted to, because it all doesn't have to be the highest ticket. So in my first year, it allowed me to shoot, I think, 10 to 20 weddings for free. But the last 40 weddings that I did all paid. And then if I looked across the board, none of them actually paid for free. Literally, I just averaged out how much was it per wedding that I made. And I think it was, you know, maybe it was $4,000 or something per wedding. Okay. With all the print sales that we had, album sales, like all the things, even ones that shot for free, they wanted to buy things from me. So think about that for a moment. Like, it's naive to think that we can just go out there and put up a price and then that's it. We're just going to make, you know, a ton more money. We need to be strategic with this. And so when you do see someone like myself that shows up and shoots for friend, you go, oh, they're an idiot because they're undercharging themselves, they're undervaluing themselves, they're undercharging and undervaluing the industry and everything else. Just remember, it's chances are you probably just don't know business. Like, business works on averages. That's just how business works. So think about how much do you need to make at the end of the year, and then how can you get there? What's the average order spend and how can you get it up? Another reason why I think it's really important to have so many different add-ons onto your services and stuff is I've seen over the years, there's been a lot of photographers, they get burnt out because they're like, man, I don't have any add-ons. I can't be bothered with that stuff. I just shoot weddings. That's it. And what happens is they get so burnt out because there's no other revenue coming in. So that means you've got to shoot more weddings. And I'm going to explain that in a moment as well, but just something I want you to think about. So number two, business works on averages, not from big, high ticket sales. Okay. Really, really important. And in fact, to be honest, if I was going to start a business tomorrow, hey, if you had a cheaper price, it means more people will probably have more money to spend with you, to be honest. I know everyone always says, like, to be in the luxury market, you got to charge $10,000 plus and you got to have a high ticket. I can honestly say that is one way to do it for sure. I'm not discounting that at all. But there is many ways that you can do it. And if you did have a lower entry point and you brought people in, a lot of people that came in with me and worked with me that were on a budget, they end up spending $10,000+ because they didn't even know how much they wanted to spend. And me having a lower entry point means I allowed them to come in and spend what they wanted to spend. It's really important to allow your clients to spend what they want to spend. Hey, Make Your Breakers, if you want to download a workbook for today's episode, just go to jialong.co/260. That's jialong.co/260. You can download it and you can fill in all the little sections for your goals so you can have a successful 2024. Okay, lesson three. Here is a big lesson that I had. I thought it was hard. I had limiting beliefs and I thought $100,000 was a lot of money. I obviously don't think $100,000 is a lot of money now. And in fact, I don't think it's very much. And I think if you're a business owner right now and you're not making $100,000, then you're going to have to get there quick because it really isn't much money. Think about this. You're basically on minimum wage. If you make $100,000 per year, you're on minimum wage right now. And I know this is hard truth, but I want you to hear me out and I want you to move past this. But if you pay 30% tax, then what are you down to $70,000? And let's say you got gear and camera stuff and everything else, like that's probably costing you 20,000 subscriptions, a workshop, everything else, 20,000 per year. You're left with 50,000. That's what, $920 per week or something if you average out all the way. So $50,000 per year. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but you also have to risk a lot to make it happen. Like everything's on you. You have to level up. Like you got to do a lot of things. And so entrepreneurs, man, like it's really important that we do get profit at the end of the year and we actually make some money. So for me, I thought $100,000 was a lot of money. Because of that limiting belief, it made it harder for me to make, especially in my head. I just thought it was really hard. And one of the first things that I did is I actually went to a workshop and I was with Jonas Peterson. And he was like my idol back in the day. I remember he was an amazing photographer. I loved his storytelling, loved his work. And I just wanted to hear a few things from that workshop. That workshop was so expensive for me. I think it was $2,000. It just felt like a lot of money. I didn't have that much money when I first started, but I saved and I invested and I gave it to him. And I remember sitting in that class and one of the things that he said is he just talked about how much money he made. And I think he had booked in like $180,000 or something for the year. And that's all I needed to hear. I just needed to see somebody made more than $100,000. Because don't forget, like in 2013, photographers didn't make over $100,000. Like only the ones that we talked about, only the ones that were like featured in the big magazines and stuff like that. But these days, like everybody does. Of course, $100,000 is worth different amounts back then than it is now. But once people can see it's possible, people will rinse and repeat the same process to get themselves there. So I remember I talked to Jonas Peterson. I also talked to Sam Blake, and she's an amazing photographer based in New York. And she said the same, I've got about $200,000 worth of weddings booked in. And for me, that broke my limiting belief because before that, I thought it was impossible. And then all of a sudden, it was possible. And that's all that I needed. So if something practical for you right now is I need you to go out there and see it's possible for somebody else. Like whatever price or whatever figure that you got in your head that you want to make in your business, I want you to go out there and just see that someone else is doing it and see that it's possible. Now, if it's possible for them, regardless of their followers and everything else, then you've got to know that it's possible for you. Of course, back then, like Jonas Peterson was like the world's best photographer, super famous, had all the followers and everything. He had the fans and everything else. I had nothing. And I still seen, I was like, well, if it's possible for him, then it's possible for me, okay? And I don't care where you come from or what you do, like you need to feel that as well. Like if someone else is doing it, regardless of their gender and their color of their skin and their age and their religion and everything else, I want you to just look at the person and go, if they're doing it, then I can. That's all that matters. I'm going to make it happen. So lesson four, I didn't need to know everything to make 100K, just a few things and really well. This one's really good to know because $100,000 is not that much money and you can make it really easy. You don't actually need to be good at business to make $100,000, believe it or not. Like you just need to hammer away at just like one thing. You can definitely just, you know, fly by the edge of your seat and make $100,000. Like what's harder is when you're scaling up because then you need processes and you need to know what you're doing. But $100,000, you don't really need to know what you're doing. But you do need to know something, at least a couple of things. And I would just learn a couple of things and do them really well. What I mean by that is, for instance, if you're bringing in leads right now and you're thinking, you're not getting many leads and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go and do some SEO. I'm going to get on Instagram, do some reels. I'm going to get onto TikTok. I'm going to get onto X. I'm going to get on the threads. I'm going to go and do some word of mouth. I'm going to go to an expo. I'm going to get onto the magazines. You start thinking about every single thing you can do. If you start running some Meta ads, I'm going to start running some Pinterest ads. I'm going to put together some Pinterest boards. I'm going to start doing some blogging. You start doing all this kind of stuff and it's not for you. If you're making 100K, you don't need to do all those things. To do all those things is when you need, it was when you want to scale up, like scale way up. Okay. For me, when I'm thinking about my business, I want to scale my business to 10 million per year. So I start thinking about those things. Like, what do I need to do? For you, if you're making 100K, you don't need to be thinking all of those things. You need to be thinking, what can I do right now that works well? And then double down so I know it really well. Okay. So the thing that I worked out when I first started was two things. I was really good at Instagram and I was really good at word of mouth. Like I'm good at speaking to people, okay, and sharing my ideas and everything else. So I was like, word of mouth, that's one of the most important things for me. And I love client experience. So it's like, if I create an amazing client experience, I'm going to have more word of mouth. If I make more friends in the industry, I'm going to have better word of mouth. And I worked really hard on that. And I worked really hard on Instagram. Those two things. Everyone else told me all the things I got to do. And I was like, that's all good for you, but I'm just going to do these things to get myself to 100K. Once I get to 100K, I'm going to have more money. Once I get to more money, I'm going to be able to hire people to write blog posts for me and do all that kind of stuff, okay? So just to get yourself to that number, you just need to do a couple of things and learn it really well. Like go so deep on it. Learn everything about it. Learn it, okay? So like with Instagram, it's like learn the things. Like if you need to know about hashtags, then go learn hashtags. Like if you need to know how to DM people, cold DM people and talk to them, like learn that stuff. If you need to know how to make a viral video, learn that. Like learn the things that you need to learn because that's going to get, that single thing will get you to 100K. That's all it takes. Okay. So just remember, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know everything when you scale up to 100K. You just need to know a couple of things and you need to know them really well. You can definitely wing yourself to 100K, no problem at all. And in fact, and side note, and I'll share this story one day, but I do remember I added an extra service to my business and I accidentally one year made an extra 100K just from something I didn't even think about in my business. And it just came about and I was like, oh my God. At the end of the year, I was like, I didn't even realize I was even selling that. And I didn't realize that was even a thing. And I didn't realize that we just made that extra money. Like you can wing it to 100K. Lesson five, it is a numbers game. And I do have a pricing calculator on my website. If you do want to go and buy that, it's not very much money. It works really well. So a pricing calculator, essentially what it is you can input your numbers and then, and your goals. So like how much money do you want to make per year? Then you input how much your expenses are per year. And then it's going to send out an estimate of like how many jobs do you need to do to make that much money? So let's talk about it. I learned this on early on. So for me, if I charge $5,000 in my wedding photography business, that was like, by the end, obviously that was like, I mean, less than my starting price, but let's just say $5,000. That means I only needed to show up and do 20 weddings per year. And if I charge $4,000, it means only 25 per year. If I charge $3,000, it means I need to show up and do 33 weddings per year. If I charge $2,000, it means I need to show up and do 50 weddings per year. If I charge $1,000, it means I need to show up and do 100 weddings per year. Was that feasible? Well, I don't think it was. I was doing about 60 weddings, you know, or like year on year. But for me, like that's because I'm a workhorse. Most people want to sit around about 25 to 20. So I want you to think about this. Every time you put up your price, the way that I think about it, I'm like $4,000, I need 25 weddings. Okay, $5,000 though, I only need now 20 weddings, which means I can do less marketing, which means I need to convert less people. In fact, I can convert like 20% less people. Like everything expands, everything changes, right? So, and then I've got way more time on my hands. If I'm charging $5,000 and I only have to shoot 20 weddings per year, that's nothing. That's like 20 weeks worth of work. You know, that's half a year's worth of work. So if that's all I need to do, then that seems pretty easy to me. If I charge 6,000, like it goes on like that. Okay. So I want you to get clear on the numbers and then what do you actually need to make in your business? And then how many weddings would you actually want to shoot? How many products would you actually want to shoot? The best part about this and what goes on to the big secret that I talked about in number two with averages is if you were charging 4K, but let's say your average was 5K or 6K. And the reason being is because you've got bigger packages and you've got albums and you've got prints and you've got other things. Then all of a sudden you can shoot less weddings per year. So you could get to a point where you're shooting only like 15 per year and you're making a six-figure income. Like that's kind of where you want to get to. And then you've got options because you can double down if you want to make 200,000 per year because you've got more time now, 300,000. You can start going up. Like my business, we were making at the peak of it about 550 per year as me as a solo shooter and then one virtual assistant basically. So yeah, the world is your limit. So I just wanted to put that out there. If you do want to try that calculator, it's definitely worth the investment. It's on my website, jailong.co. I'm going to stick a link down below for it. Definitely worth getting on there and just trying that for sure. Lesson six, success leaves clues. This is something that I learned and I want you to learn this as well. Like success leaves clues. And if you look around, you can see what people are doing, the most successful people, and then you can learn from them. Like it's all repeatable. Like everything's a repeatable process. So I did that over the years. I looked around. I was like, who are the most successful? Who do I need to know? What rooms are they in? How do I get them myself in there? And that's why I have joined masterminds and courses and things like that, because I know that it leaves clues. I know people can teach it. I know, you know, the real weird thing about like teaching, I don't know why, but when I talk to photographers that make under 100K, they always say like, nah, I don't need a workshop. What could someone possibly teach me? I don't need a course. I don't need a coach. What could possibly someone teach me? And the very thing that's the most important thing for them in their lives, they don't get someone to help them. Meanwhile, when they're at school, they had a teacher. And when they're at college, you know, they had a teacher. And if they were a trainee, they had a teacher. If they start a new job, they got an employer that's going to show them what to do. Like if you are going to the gym, someone's going to show you. Someone's in the class. Like if you're going to do yoga, someone's in the class and shows you through it. Like you've got a teacher, you've got a mentor, you've got a coach, you've got this person appear in all other aspects of your life. And when it comes to, you know, creating a business and making money, we think for some reason that we know best, even though we've never done it before. I mean, saying that out loud now, surely that sounds pretty stupid. But I don't know what it is, but I think this is the thing that keeps us poor. We think that there's an award for self-made people that claim to be self-made. I mean, the fact is no one's self-made, let's be honest. There's someone that's helped you along the way. But I think it's really weird, but I actually think it's the thing that keeps us poor. It's like, how do you keep the middle class poor? Well, tell them that if they're self-made and they don't collaborate with anybody else and they don't get help, then they're champions. And the problem is you only lose. You can never win from that. I know I learned that the hard way, but the second that I actually looked for the people that were doing the big things is the second that my business absolutely blew up. So success leaves clues. Lesson seven, my network was my net worth. It was more than just who I knew, it was who knew me. This is really important. Your business can only be as successful as the people that know your business. You can only do work with people that know you, that know your services. And so when I think about that, it's an easy equation. Then I just need people to know me. I just need to become omnipresent. Like people need to know my brand. So I force myself on the market and I get known by everybody. And in fact, if that is me going out there and getting known, shaking hands, meeting people, expanding my network, that's exactly what it was. When I went to the US and I shot for free, one thing I never tell anyone, but every city that I went into the camera stores, I went and met brands, I went to Richard Photo Lab, I literally went everywhere. And what happened was for me expanding my network and just walking in saying hi to all these brands in the photography industry, when I came back to Australia finally, I had like three emails of people asking if they could sponsor me. So I got sponsorships all from me showing up and just introducing myself. So it made me look like I was even bigger photographer than I was. And it's all because I expanded my network. They knew who I was and they were starting to share my work. They were sharing it on social media. They were like sharing it with their clients. They were recommending me. So my net worth was my net worth. Really important for you if you want 100K, think about your network right now. Do you have a $100,000 network? Like the people in your network right now, could they lead to $100,000 worth of work? Be honest with yourself, because if they can't, you need to expand that network. If you're sitting there going like, man, the only person I'll talk to is my husband and my kids and my auntie and one friend, then you got a problem because you can't sell to them. Like maybe you can a little bit, but you need to be able to have a network of people that are recommending your brand and that you can tap into at any time and go like, hey, who's getting married? Who wants to buy a product? Who wants to be in my ecosystem? You know? So really, really important. Always be thinking about expanding that network. And I did that for every single week that I was in business in the first year. And it's one of the, and going out there and shooting for free actually expanded myself a lot when I was just creating, because I was like reaching out to vendors, wedding photographers, wedding videographers, venues, florists, makeup artists, like everyone, models. And I was just like collaborating with people. I wasn't worried about money. And guess what? It expanded my network, and that expanded my net worth. That led to a lot of paying gigs, and I didn't have to do any marketing. That's the amazing thing. So lesson eight is every day, it was just another step. Okay. So I think so often everyone is in such a hurry to get such big success. For me, I was patiently impatient. And I just knew that every single day, Saturday, Sunday, public holiday, Valentine's Day, whatever day it was, I just had to do one thing to get myself closer to that success. And it could be something as small as getting onto Instagram and DMing one new vendor to introduce myself, or doing one new post on social media, or walking into one new venue and shaking a hand, like whatever it was, just one thing that I knew that would move the needle. Not one thing as in like I just sat on Facebook and did nothing. I'm talking one thing that I know is going to move the needle. One new connection. I did that every single day. And if you could just show up and just do that one thing, nothing else, you're going to get there by the end of the year. Lesson nine, I planned ahead, well ahead. And I'm talking about like sales, like Black Friday sales, sales and albums. I planned ahead for new styled shoots, new campaigns, new works, new projects, new editorials. Like I was always planning ahead. So I knew in the pipeline that there was big things coming about that I could talk about. I could have big sales for, you know, mid-year sales, January sales, like sales for everything when it comes to all of my albums, all my prints and things like that. So I knew there was extra income coming in from all of that. And I knew I had extra new work coming in and everything else. So plan to succeed. If you've got no plan, you're going to plan to failure. Plan to succeed. You have to have a plan. And it's really easy to make six figures. Like crazy easy. I'm telling you right now, it's so easy. You just need to have a plan and then stick to the plan. That's all. You know, you just got to do the plan. I know that doing the plan thing is probably harder, and you're probably thinking, I wish I didn't have to do the plan. Wish it was easier than that, Jai. But look, I think it's easy. I think if you just have a plan and you are like this time next year, you should know what you'd be selling. Like I know this time next year, you know, I know what products I'm going to have open. I know what's going to be launched. I know what's going to be on discount. Like I know this because I'm pre-planning. Nothing is less left to guesswork. Nothing's left to chance. Nothing is just like, I hope and wish. You're listening to a podcast called Literally Make Your Break. And so this is where you make your break. You need to know how much money you're going to bring in next quarter or at the end of the year or at the start of the year or what campaigns you're going to be running or what marketing material or what ads you'll be running. Like you need to know these things. Plan for success. Okay. Lesson 10, the more fun I had, the more success I attracted. I want you to think about this success. Okay. I'll talk about success. What does success mean? Well, success means, this is my definition. And this is, I know a lot of entrepreneurs actually say this definition. I've heard, I think Tony Robbins talk about this. I've heard Russell Brunson talk about this. So I've heard a lot of people talk about this same equation. Achievement plus fulfillment equals success. Achievement plus fulfillment will equal success. So for me, fulfillment is having fun in my business. Because if you're not having fun, then you might just be working towards achievements, but you're not actually working towards fulfillment. Fulfillment for me is like showing up and achieving big things, feeling really proud of myself and what I'm creating, but also feeling fulfilled along the way that I'm doing what I want to do. And in fact, one of my employees today, I talked about how I could make $1 million this year by just doing some property deals. And she said, why don't you just do that instead of this, Jai? And that would get me some big achievements, but it only gets me half of success. I no longer would be fulfilled because that's not the thing. Making money is not the thing that fulfills me. So doing what I'm doing now does fulfill me. So the more fun that I have in my business, even today, the more that I show up on social media like this, on YouTube, you know, on the podcast, you know, doing whatever it is that I'm doing, and I'm helping people in their business, and I'm helping people see that it's fun, and they're lighting up, and they're enjoying what I'm putting out into the world. I'm like, okay, so that for me is success, the fulfillment. I am achieving something, and then mixed with fulfillment, for me, it's success. So I want to ask you, are you successful right now? Do you feel like you're achieving, and do you feel like you're achieving something towards fulfillment? Are you feeling fulfilled? And it's really important that you do have fun, because if business is just business and business is serious and it's all businessy and, you know, you got a suit and tie on, you got to sit in a grim room with no windows, and that's what you think your definition of business is. You got to be hustling all the time. You got to be doing marketing all the time. You got to be uncomfortable all the time. Like, if that's your definition of business, you're not going to have a good time. Business is literally you showing up, creating whatever it is in your brain, your own services, whatever packages that you want to do. You can do it in your way. You get to build your own brand. You get to make your own, whatever it is. You get to make it all up. You get to create something that you love, that you're proud of, and then put it out into the world. And then you're going to achieve a lot. And people are attracted to people that have success. They really are. And so the more success that you attract into your life, the more people are going to be attracted to you, because they will want to know, how did you do it? How are you that person that just seems to be like a magnet? And you'll become the magnet. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoy this. What I would love for you, if you haven't done so, if you could send in a little story or a lesson that you learned on your first 100K as you scaled up your business. There's a link down below to a Google form. You can just leave a little note, and later on in this week, I'm going to play those notes so you get to have a listen. I'd love to hear you on the podcast, and I'd love to hear your lessons. Like, what are your lessons for your first 100K that you'd like to pass on to somebody else? Or maybe you're making your first 100K and you got a question for me. Hey, submit it all. I want to hear it. Thank you for listening to Jai Long, and I'll see you soon.